We've been talking about prayer, and I think I shared something about this a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to reiterate it and actually put it in as a fill-in, because a lot of times we think, well, what does it mean to be spiritually mature? What is a mature person? Does it mean that I got to read God's word and quote it more? How many of you know that's a good thing, but that doesn't necessarily make you a mature believer? Does it mean to be more faithful in my church attendance? That's a good thing, but that, you know, you can be here every time the doors open doesn't make you mature. Does it mean getting involved, serving? Those are all good signs of spiritual maturity, but you can do all of that and not be mature. What about in your giving? You know what? I give, I do this. Listen, here's the real marker of spiritual maturity. It is simply going to God quicker than you would have before. And I tell you, whatever you face in life, whatever challenge you face in life, the quicker you take it to God, that shows that your connection is there. You know, a lot of times people go to a lot of other things instead of God, and then eventually God is like, well, I've tried everything else, so I guess I'll take it to God. Let me tell you, we need to do a shift. That's why our key verse through this series has been the words of Jesus: seek first what? His kingdom, his righteousness, and all of those other things that we need or we seek or we want in our life, God's going to take care of it. And we got to have that mindset that you know what, even though these 21 days of prayer and fasting is over, but that through the rest of this year and the rest of my life, I want to live with a seek first attitude. Amen. I want that to be my life. So today I'm going to cover some of the essentials of effective prayer. And kind of after I finished first service, and we had a lot of people in our first service. I don't know if you guys know it, but it's starting to grow as well. Thank God for that. I was telling somebody in our first service, he was like, wow, we got more people starting to come here. And I'm like, I said, you know what? It was a year and a half or maybe 2 years ago. I don't know. Is Timothy? He may be out. We were like, because it was starting to dwindle. We're like, do we need to keep this thing going? And all of a sudden, God started bringing these other people. I have no idea why I even got into that. Anyway. Oh, because I shared this message, and I was like, man, maybe I should have started the 21 days with this, because we're talking about the essentials of effective prayer. How many of you, let me just say this, all prayer is not equal. You guys realize that? If you happen to watch the presidential inauguration, there were several people that prayed. How many of you realize not all those prayers were the same? Okay, I mean, I'm not the prayer police or anything like that, so I'm not telling you who touched heaven and who didn't, but I will tell you that not all prayer is equal. It just isn't. There is a difference between prayer and what I would call effective prayer. You know, in James it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, produces much. So I want my prayers to be effective. I want my prayers to touch God. And so I thought of this analogy. It may not be a perfect analogy, but some of you guys remember when you had to communicate with somebody that may be long distance by one of these things called a letter. How many of you guys remember that? Right? You actually had to write a letter, put a stamp on it, and I think stamps today are like, you know, $58 to mail. I don't know. They keep going up, don't they? It's like, okay, I didn't plan this. Who remembers this? What was the cheapest stamp to mail a letter? Who remembers what? What was? Oh, Bob's probably got it. 2 cents, 3 cents. Holy smoke, that's cheap. I don't even know what it is now. 50? Wow, that's crazy. I don't even remember the last time I mailed a letter. So, but here's the thing. The problem with it is if you're trying to communicate, especially if it was somebody overseas, like some of you guys were in the armed services and wars and stuff, and it's like, I'm going to send a letter. You know what? It may be a few months before you actually get a reply. And it's like, you know, you go to the mailbox. Anybody remember going to the mailbox waiting for a reply? And it's like, oh, you know, you see the mailman come, and it's like, maybe it's in there. Maybe it's in there. You know what? Nobody's excited about going to the mailbox now, because all we get is junk mail or bills. And it's like, I think it can set in there for about a week. Right? Well, did you check the mail today? No. So it has changed. So eventually, has come along this wonderful thing called a cell phone, right? It can be a blessing and a curse, let's be honest. But this is my daughter. She lives up in Washington. I text her on Friday, and I said, hey, I need a picture of you FaceTiming me. And she thought I wanted to talk to her, and she may be watching this. I just needed her illustration, so here I am. I'm talking to her, and we did actually talk probably 45 minutes after that. But the cool thing is that you can actually see people that are on the other side of the globe and talk to them in real time. You know, it wasn't that long ago when people have been like, oh, man, that must cost long-distance phone calls. Yeah, it's like, you know, those of you that are money-oriented, if you made a long-distance phone call, you wanted to make it short. Hey, I'm checking. Are you still alive? Yes. Everybody good? Yes. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Boom. All right, because it's like all you could hear is cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching going on. So the cell phone made it so much easier that you can communicate. And how many of you remember the cartoon The Jetsons? That was when this was just an idea. Hey, I can talk to people through a video. Like, how is that possible? I mean, we're living in George Jetson days right now, right? Just waiting for flying cars and we'll be there, right? So it's just so much better. Just like prayer, all communication is not equal. And here's the thing. It's not a great analogy, but I'm giving you this feeling anyway. Praying without Jesus is like mailing a letter instead of picking up the phone. It's like, you know, oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to hear you. Here's the thing. You can live a life with direct access to God all the time. Amen. You don't have to go through somebody else. You don't have to go any other channel. And the other fill-in is Jesus is different, is the difference between an erratic prayer and an effective prayer. And when I say erratic, I mean it's like inconsistent, hit and miss thing, and even to the point where you don't even know if you're going to get an answer. I don't even know if God hears me. I don't know, you know, maybe he might hear me, but I don't even think he's going to answer it. Right, that's ineffective. That's an erratic prayer. An effective prayer is when Jesus came in. We believe and we know that God hears us. Amen. I've heard people say things like that. Well, I don't know if my prayers are even going to make it through the roof or through the ceiling. Guess what? They don't have to because Jesus is right here. Amen. So when you pray with effectiveness, you know He hears you. You know God listens, and you know that God is going to respond. It's not like, gee, I just sure hope that he responds. So let me give you a little history lesson, and you guys know this. Most of you guys know this. Church history that dating all the way back to when the Israelites were in Egypt, and God sent Moses along to bring them out. While they're out in the desert, God set up a system for them in order to communicate to God, to have access to him. And it started out with the tabernacle, and once they finally got established, it became the temple. But in the tabernacle, there was this room called the Holy of Holies, and guess what? Only one person got to enter into that room. Nobody else. The high priest was the only one that got in, and when he went in, he would go in and he would represent everybody else. There would be a sacrifice made for the sins of the people, and that was essentially the way God initially set up how you will connect with God. You're going to connect with God by going through this priest. He's going to come in. He's going to offer a sacrifice for you. That way you can have forgiveness of your sin temporarily. Because guess what? Another sacrifice had to be made. All right? So the problem with that system, and God designed it, but God knew that it was actually a broken system. It wasn't effective for real communication. So we're going to look fast forward into the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 5. Because there's that system, I believe a lot of people still live today. A lot of people still have that same idea that the Israelites did. So I want to spend a few minutes in Hebrews chapter 5 and just kind of track with me as I take you here. It says, every high priest is selected from among men. He's appointed to represent them, look at this, in matters related to God. And so the high priest went to God. Any kind of matter that related to God, he would take it in there. He would offer the gifts. He would offer the sacrifice of sin. And today, not in our church, but there are churches around where people kind of view the pastor or the priest, you are the one that represents me to God. You're the one, all the matters that relate to God, that's why we hired you. That's why you're here, pastor, priest. That's why you're there, is that you're the one. How many of you know that's an exclusive system that God doesn't want? It's not just about me. And so let's move on to the next verse. It says, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So the high priest was still subject to weakness. And here's the whole idea in that you need to understand, that the high priest was just as human as anybody else. All right, he was just as human. He had flaws. He had sin. And I think that's why some people sometimes walk away from church, because they have this idea, oh, you're the pastor. You know what? I don't know if you realize this. Sometimes I fail people. I'm glad I got no amens on that. That was actually a good thing. It's like, oh, yeah, pastor, let me count the number of times, you know. Listen, as human beings, we will always fail. There's no perfect pastor, no perfect priest. How many of you know, I'm going to say it, the Pope is just as human as anybody else. Right? He is subject to flaws and sin like everybody else. And so he is subject to weakness. Look at verse 3. It says, that is why the high priest had to offer sacrifice for his own sin and for the sins of the people. So it's like, guess what happened? If he didn't offer a sacrifice for his own sin, some of you guys know this, they tied a rope around him when they went in there, and if his sin wasn't covered, you know, he would drop dead and they had the rope to pull him out. That's rough. I'm like, oh, Lord, I better make sure that I offer for that. So that's not a good system. That's a flawed system. What it is that we as flawed people are going to a flawed priest to offer sacrifices to God for their sin and ours. And it's like, it doesn't give you direct access. Living under that system, you're always kind of disconnected from God. It's like, oh, yeah, you do the spiritual stuff. You're the one that gets the connection with God. So I want you to do that while we live on the outside and never have that personal interaction with God. How many of you know Jesus changed everything? When he came on the scene, look what it says. We're in verse 3. We're going to jump down to verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers, petitions with loud cries, tears to the one who could save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source. Think about this. He is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God. Check this out. Don't let this go over your head. He was designated to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So now they had all these high priests that had to offer sacrifice for their sin. Now God is like, Jesus, you are the high priest. And I love it. He faced the same temptations we do, but guess what? Without sin, right? If you think about that, Jesus was the first high priest that didn't have to go before the Father and offer a sacrifice for his sin. Actually, he became the sacrifice for our sin. He didn't need to be cleansed before that happened. And let me just tell you, he suffered. He did all of that without sin. That changes everything. Jesus is now the mediator, the scripture says, between a new covenant. We don't have to have this priest that goes. You don't have to come to me. Let me tell you, I don't have the access for you. You've got your own access. Amen. And that's through Jesus. We don't have to go through any saint. We don't have to go through any person. We have direct access with Jesus. Amen? He is now our bridge. So what does that mean for us concerning prayer? Like, instead of having, you know, erratic prayer where, oh, God, I don't know if you hear me. What do I got to do? Do I got to do penance? Do I got to do all this stuff? No, we can have effective prayer. We can be like what it says in James, have effective, fervent prayer. God hears that, amen? So I'm going to give you real quick today three things that we need to have in our life, that we need to understand to have effective prayer. Number one is that when we pray, we've got to pray with faith in Jesus' sacrifice. So yes, we have faith in Jesus, but we got to have faith in the sacrifice that he offered on that cross. Let me just give you a little illustration here. Does anybody remember the first time you ever went to like a Sam's Club or Costco? Like somebody invited you along, they had a membership, and you thought they were something. Like, ooh, you got a membership to this place. And you walk in, and you see these towering things and, you know, 58 rolls of toilet paper in this one. And it was just amazing, right? I got my little membership card. We got a Sam's and a Costco. Like how many of you know, well, I'm important. Let me just say this, Costco executive member. That just means I pay more money there. So anyway, here's the thing. I remember one of the first times going to it, and it was like amazing because somebody invited me. Hey, listen, you got to go check. It was a Sam's Club. You got to go check this out. And so we went, and it was like, wow, you know, and I think we bought some stuff. And, you know, there was another time I wanted to go, but guess what? I couldn't go in because I didn't have one of these. The guy that invited us, he's the one that paid for the membership card. He's the one that had the access. And so if I was going to get access, either I had to go with him or I had to buy my own card, right? And you have to pay for that access. And listen, while all of us can buy a Sam's membership or a Costco membership, how many of you know none of us can afford the access into heaven? How many of you know Jesus is the only one that paid for access into heaven? We couldn't do it. We couldn't afford it. So when it comes to prayer, guess what? You don't get to go to God just because of who you are, right? You don't get to go into his throne room because of your importance on earth. Well, you know what? I'm really important, or I'm a pastor, or I'm this, I'm that. Your works do not give you access to God. How many of you know we have access because we have been invited by the great high priest? The great high priest says, hey, I want you to come in here with me. I'm going to give you that access. So let's jump to another chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have, let's all say this word, confidence to enter the most holy place. Let me tell you, we should be able to go into God's presence with confidence. And unfortunately, there's a lot of times people come in and they're not going in confidence. It's like, oh God, you know, I did this and I did that. And they're feeling like, you know, God's about to zap them because what they see is their sin. Their eye is focused on their sin, thinking, I can't go to God. I'm a sinful mess. I can't be in his presence. Let me tell you, if that's your attitude, you don't understand scripture. You don't understand the word. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, not by our good works, not by our giving record, not because I'm so pure in mind, we have access. Why? By the blood of Jesus. Amen? We have access. We can walk in with confidence because of the blood of Jesus is our card. How many of you know? That's it right here. I can come in. How can I come in? Well, God, I didn't do enough good works. I didn't do this. And you know what? I blew it here and I blew it there. Hey, listen, you've got the blood of Christ covering you. Amen. You have got access. And it says what? Let's finish reading it. By a new and living way. This way never existed before Jesus went to the cross. It was never there. A new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. So what is he referencing here? How many of you remember when Jesus died, after he said it is finished and he died, the Bible says that the temple curtain was torn in two. That temple curtain was the thing that separated the Holy of Holies that the high priest could go into. And I'm sure they had to be shocked. Like, oh no, it's opened up, we're all going to die. But listen, God is saying, hey, listen, there's a new access for you. And it's like, you know, if you're trying to enter a code on your computer or trying to, and you know, you get the access denied kind of thing. Anybody get something like that? But let me tell you, when you go in through the blood of Jesus, guess what you get? You get access granted. Amen. Jesus is our access granted into the throne room. Hey, man, can we give the Lord a hand clap for that? Anybody excited about that? God says, hey, come on in. You don't got to wait for somebody else. All you need is me. So we have that access to him. And let's go back to verse 21 now. It says, and since we have a great priest, the great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith. How many of you know, if you can go in that way, you're going to go into the presence of God. You don't have to deal with the woe is me, God, I'm this and I'm that, I'm just a worm, Lord, don't step on me, please. Not that attitude. No, it's like I can walk in with assurance. I can walk in with confidence. We don't have, I don't have to worry about my ability. I don't have to worry about my good works. I know that I have, let me just give you the fill-in. I put it like this. My ability to approach God in prayer, it's not because of my works, but it's because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Amen? That's it. That's our ticket. That's our ticket in, amen? Only through the blood of Jesus. That's why it's so important to have effective prayer. I got to have faith that Jesus' sacrifice actually was enough. His sacrifice was enough. It's not like, oh, a sacrifice plus I got to do this extra penance. I got to do, you know, all these other things. No, it is through the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's it. We don't have to come in like, you know, I don't know. Anybody have like a pet, like when they do something wrong, they come in and they're kind of like, they got the guilty look. How many of you guys, your pet has the guilty look? And you just, you know, you're going to start walking around the house looking for what they did, right? Because they give it away. Sometimes people come before God with that like, oh, God. And it's like, no, walk in with boldness. The sacrifice was enough. And I just want to say, because I feel like if you've been carrying that guilt around, and we talked about this in our men's Bible study, Jesus didn't just pay the penalty for our sin. How many of you know he also took our guilt? Right? So if you're still feeling guilt, you need to stand up and say, wait a minute, God, by your blood, I'm coming in. By what you did on the cross, your cross, what you did was enough. Amen? So that's number one, to pray effectively. Ephesians 2:18, for through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Amen? Second point, pray with authority in Jesus' name. How many of you know we were singing with some authority earlier? Right? Wasn't that powerful? I was like, you know, we were down on our worship team and it was like, oh man, you know, what are we going to do? How many of you know you don't have to have the full band and all the works and everything to enter into the presence? Amen? God's power is enough. And so praying with authority in the old, you know, in the scripture, how many of you know names had power? There is a reason behind them. A lot of people are like, name's a name, whatever a name. If you don't think a name carries weight or power, just mention somebody's ex to them. Think about it. It's like, oh, why did you mention that name, you know? I feel all icky and everything now. So I actually have a list of some of you guys' exes that I'm going to... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. But here's the thing. Should I say it? You mention certain politicians' names around some people, how many of you know they get deranged? Right? So I'm not going to go any further with that. I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway, names have power. How many of you know the name that has the most power is the name of Jesus? Yeah. Amen. The disciples understood it, and I just pulled a couple of the verses out because I just thought they were so powerful. Luke 10:17 says this, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, check it out, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. How many of you know you don't use the name of Jesus, the demons are going to jump all over you. All right, there's a story of that in Acts. They tried to use the name of Jesus like a magic potion, but they didn't know Jesus. How many of you know the name of Jesus is not a magic word? You got to know the Jesus, and you got to know the name that you're speaking, and he's got to know you. And you begin to declare it. Mark 16:17, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. This is Jesus, in my name. You're going to be able to drive out demons. Amen? You're going to be able to speak in new tongues. What about Romans 10:13? Everyone who calls on what name? The name of the Lord will be saved. How many of you know we're not calling on the universe? Oh, great universe. How many of you, you're just talking to elements. and space. That's it. You know, sometimes I see this on Facebook, like somebody's going through something, and they're like, oh, pray for me, we're going this, and I'll see somebody's response, sending good vibes your way. Yeah, positive thoughts. I don't care what your thoughts are, and I don't know what kind of, my vibes, right? What does that even mean? I don't want anyone to send me any good thoughts or vibes. I want somebody to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want somebody, you know, I'm not praying good energy your way, your higher power, whatever that may be. It is only the name of Jesus that has power in our life. Amen. That's it. So listen, if you want to take your prayer to the next level, begin to pray in the name of Jesus. But I want a little thing here. Make sure you know Jesus, right? Make sure you have that connection to him. So look at Philippians chapter 2. It says, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven. Look at it. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know what that tells me? Those that mocked and cursed the name of Jesus and died without him, one day they're going to have to confess the name of Jesus. And I always say this, it's better to confess it now than later. Amen? It's better to call on him now. One day everybody's going to do it. Let's do it now where we can go with him. Amen? So here's the thing. The power in the name of Jesus, salvation is found in no other name. Amen. Only in him. Healing, you want healing in your body, in your life, in your relationship, it's only found in Jesus. Not, you know, oh, if I do this. What about hope? Hope is only found in him. Listen, it's not a matter of who we elect in political position. It's not a matter of if the stock market goes up or down. Our only real hope is only in Christ. Amen. Deliverance, you need deliverance. You're not going to find it anywhere else other than Jesus. Demons flee. Listen, if demonic strongholds, and they do exist. They do exist. How do I get the demonic influence out of my school, out of my county, out of my country, out of my state, right? We got to begin to declare the name of Jesus. Begin to speak that, amen? Freedom in our life only comes at the name of Jesus. Amen. I love the, you know, we have a song that we sing, but out of the Psalms, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And what does it say? The righteous run to it and are safe. And it's like, you know what? Where's the tower? Where's the tower? It's the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. Yes. And here's the thing. I remember, you know, when we pastored in Chico, I would get occasionally these letters from the city council like, Pastor, we would love to have you come and open up the city council meeting. In prayer, and I was like, oh man, that's what a great opportunity. I can go there and pray for our city. And then, you know, as I finished reading the letter, it's like, here's some of our guidelines. Guess what one of them was? You couldn't mention the name of Jesus. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, here's the thing. I never went, first of all, because I don't know how to pray without the name of Jesus. Amen. A prayer without Jesus is just a bunch of words coming out of my mouth, right? And I said this in the first service. I was like, man, I should have gone once, and they probably wouldn't have invited me back, but I missed that opportunity. So listen, we got to pray. The song that we sang earlier, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I tell you, when you begin to declare Jesus over your life, over your family, over those that are lost and not serving him, you begin to say, Jesus, just speak your name. I pray that you open up their ears, open up their eyes. Just begin to declare Christ over everything. Amen? I mean, people may think you're weird. You're speaking Jesus over everything. Yes, and that's the only power there is. That's the only power there is. So that was number one, have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. Number two, speak the name of Jesus. Number three, this one's actually going to be kind of short, so I'm cutting it short. We pray with trust in Jesus' character. How many of you know, if you know how good God is, you would trust him with everything? Amen? Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Because I know God has got my best interest. Amen? I don't have to waver. If I know God knows and Jesus cares, even if I don't get the answer I want, how many of you know he's still there? And verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are without sin. It says, then let us approach the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. How many of you know mercy is not getting what we deserve? Amen? Finding grace helps us in what we need. So Jesus is going to answer. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to have you come up. If you haven't gotten your breakthrough that you've been praying for, we're going to take a few minutes and just pray and believe with you for that prayer. But let me just give you this thing. Jesus always answers 100% of our prayers. Some of you guys have heard this before. Sometimes it's yes. How many of you love a good yes? Amen. We like a good yes. Sometimes it's no. And I'll tell you, the longer I've served the Lord, I'm thankful for a lot of the no's that I've gotten in prayer. Because there's things that I think I need and I think I want, only to find out when God said no, I dodged a bullet. Amen. So no's are not a curse. They are for our good. Amen. We don't tell our kids yes to everything, do we? If we do, I hope not, right? You're going to raise up some spoiled kids. But then the third one is simply this. Wait. Yeah. Sometimes I got to wait because God's doing a work in me. God may be doing a work in somebody else. The waiting is a purification time. But I know that God's going to answer. So as you come up in a minute, I just want to close with this verse out of Daniel, where the three Hebrew children, they weren't children at the time. I don't know why we call them that. But it says, O Nebuchadnezzar, they were facing the fiery furnace. We don't need to defend ourselves against you, before you. It says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power. So here's the thing, the kind of faith that I want to encourage you is that when you come up for prayer, we need to have this kind of faith. God, I believe you're able. Amen? God, I believe you're able. You can't say, well, God, you know, I know you can do the little things, but maybe you have like stage 4 cancer. And the doctor says, you got 2 months to live. And it's like, wait a minute. I know a God. My God is able. Amen. Amen? And then the other kind of faith is not just he's able, but I believe that he will rescue. Amen? How many of you believe? Because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I know God can, but I don't know if he will. How many of you know that's not faith? It's great to believe that God can, but I believe that he will. Amen. Amen? And that's the kind of faith that we want. But let me tell you, I think the deepest faith is found in verse 18. He says, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. And that last one is the even if. God, I know that you can, and I believe that you will, but even if you don't do everything that I ask, I'm still going to serve you. And let me just say this, because somebody approached me after the first service and said, you know, I'm kind of struggling between the I believe that you will, and then she said it's almost kind of like a giving up, like, okay, well, you know, even if you don't. It sounds like a checkout just in case, because she was praying for her daughter, and she's like, but I can't just say I'm okay, God, if you don't save her. And it's like, that's not what this is talking about, right? You don't have to be okay with not getting, you know, maybe you're praying for someone and they die, right? You're like, God, I'm not okay with that. That's okay. That's not what this is talking about. It's like, Lord, even if you don't do anything, I'm still going to serve you. Even if you don't, I'm not going anywhere else. What did the disciples say to Jesus? Who else has the words of life? Who else has given me access? So even if God doesn't do what you want him to do, because he's not the big genie in the sky, even if he doesn't do that, I'm still serving him. I've known many people that didn't get what they thought they should get from God, and they left him. They didn't have an even if faith. They're like, oh, I believe. Their faith was strong in those first two parts. But it's like we got to get to the point in our faith where God knows what's best. How many of you know, I know this comes as a shocker, nobody lives forever. Amen? All of us have an expiration date. We don't know when it is. And so sometimes things are not going to work out the way you want. But I believe, you know, I'll pray for somebody with, I don't care, stage 48 cancer to the day before they go to be with the Lord. I'm going to believe for healing. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to believe that God can and that he will. And if God decides to do something different, that's in his hand. I don't know what that's about. Amen. And so listen, if you have been praying for a breakthrough through this 21 days, maybe you've been praying a whole lot longer. Some of you guys have been praying a whole lot longer. If you haven't seen it come to fruition yet, we want to take a few minutes and have you come up, and we're just going to pray for you. Nothing weird or anything like that. We're going to stand in agreement. The scripture says if two or three are gathered in my name, that it'll be done. Amen. And so when you come up, I want you to come up with a God. I believe that you're able, and I believe that you will. But Lord, whatever you decide, I'm leaving that in your hands. Amen. So as Pastor Timothy is playing, can we all just stand up? And we just want to open the altars, and let's just spend a few minutes, and let's believe for a breakthrough. Amen. What is it that you are asking from God? And just allow him to come up. And I know, what are people going to think when I'm up here? Who cares what people think? Amen. We're believing for breakthroughs. So we have Bob and Marilyn. Can you guys scoot down this way just a little bit? So we have a little room. And Doris, I don't know if you'd be willing to come over here and pray. Amen. Amen.